Today we're going to talk about getting a meeting people plan. And in some ways, this topic is one of those assumed things about church planting, that you're actually going to meet people. And theologically, we see that in the Bible, in the start of the new church in the book of Acts, one of the most common threads in the book of Acts that you will see again and again and again, you will see it so much that you will actually miss at times its significance, is the whole part about meeting people. Peter, the apostles, meeting people, lots of people. The apostle Paul, he's on his ministry, meeting people. And when Acts is written by Luke, it's interesting how new people come on the pages. All of a sudden, Paul would say, "In so-and-so, we met Lydia. We met this person. We met that person." And then at times, people were brought into their lives, like Cornelius brought into the lives of Peter through a vision. And then Peter seeing a vision. But what's underlying that? It is still about meeting people. So as a church planter, you are going to learn how to meet people. And right now, let's say you're not the most comfortable with meeting people, or meeting people is not your favorite thing, or you've done this personality test and it says, "Oh no, you're an introvert. Then I can't plant a church because I'm an introvert." Well, you can look like that and say, "Well, you know, that disqualifies me." Or you can actually get a meeting people plan. There are plans for extroverts, how you can be more effective. There are plans for introverts, how you can be more effective. Meeting people does not necessarily mean that you need to be an extrovert like me. Now, I'm an extrovert. I like to meet people, and meeting people is very natural. However, I have seen church planting introverts, even extreme introverts, meet people. One introvert that I have seen plant churches and he has done outstanding is another one of our professors here at Christian Leaders Institute, Steve Elzinga. He is a thoroughgoing introvert. He doesn't necessarily go out to look to meet people, but he has been very effective at planting churches, even though he's an introvert. So extroverts like me plant churches, introverts like Steve plant churches, and people like you plant churches. So today we're going to talk about a meeting people plan. Now, the first thing when we talk about it is understand that meeting people and being a witness for Christ and planting churches, all those things go together. Who are people? And I want to talk about that real quickly. People are not just a beautiful mountain to look at. They're not just a hassle with obstacles and walls. People are the crown of God's creation. People are created by God, and a soul, a life, brought in to serve Christ. To me, there is nothing more beautiful than that. To see a father reached, a mother, children reached, a household reached. That's powerful. It's beautiful. So as a church planter, you get the opportunity to master meeting people. You know, sometimes church planters will come to me and say, after they planted a church, the most cool, most awesome thing in their experience is to get over their walls of meeting people, reaching people, and all the friends and all the friendships they have now, because now they are over that wall of meeting people. So there's a lot of reasons for you to overcome this wall, and right now I'm going to talk about some pointers, some tips, some ideas by which you can, no matter who you are, get better at meeting people so you can proclaim the gospel. First of all, I want to tie this into kind of an understanding of meeting people and the seven connections operating system. So when you put together your meeting people plan, first of all, think of it as, what would your intentional plan be relative to yourself? That is, let's call that connection one. You yourself have a certain responsibility, and can come with a certain methodology of how you personally can begin to meet people more. Now let's say you're an introvert and you're wondering, well, you know, how is that going to work? Well, first of all, even if you're an introvert, there's some basic skills that you'll want to master when meeting people. Even if, you know, in some ways, introverts meet people as effectively as extroverts, and I'll give you an example. Here's the problem with extroverts, and we're going to talk about extroverts in a little bit. Extroverts are chatty, talkative. A lot of times, we'll meet people all right, but people have a hard time getting to sometimes connect with extroverts because they're just kind of too forward, too pushy. Introverts, the great thing about introverts is introverts are more comfortable often listening. So as an introvert, all it really takes is the ability to do a few basic skills, such as, hi, I'm Henry. And then there are basic questions of why, how, when, how long, where are you from? One of the things that when I've counseled introverts, one of the things I will do is we'll have like a little role playing, and it's kind of like, oh, you know, I don't really necessarily want to talk to people, but the bottom line often is I'm not comfortable. So what we'll do is we'll have more of an introvert type person memorize how, when, why, where, how long, just several of the why, how, where, why, you know, those types of questions. Just memorize them. So, and then do a little practicing. So you walk up to someone and you basically, you know, ask, hey, who are you? Simple question. John. Oh, John, where are you from? Toledo, Ohio. Oh, I was in Toledo, Ohio once. Notice how you build off of, you know, just a simple answer. Oh, I was in Toledo, Ohio. You know, I really noticed so-and-so about that city. So, why are you here? How long are you staying? You see, just simple questions, and you can do this at the supermarket. Just talk to someone. Now, why is this so important? Well, the skills of meeting people and actually holding conversations are vital for sharing the gospel. You know, there was in the past kind of a methodology to evangelism that was event-based, where essentially someone else, the professional, the pastor, would go and proclaim the gospel to groups of people. Now, while God has blessed that too, because God's Holy Spirit blesses what God's Holy Spirit blesses, and we see in Pentecost, you know, that methodology is utilized. In general, though, it's about meeting people. And as a church planter, you want to, whatever your walls on meeting people are, you want to actually get over them. Let's say you're an extrovert. You know, your thing is you can meet a lot of people, but just because you meet a lot of people doesn't mean that you're actually going to develop the relationships and the connections to get those people to a place where they're going to hear the gospel or come to your church. An introvert, I notice, is one who, when you actually accomplish meeting someone, you understand more of the depth, and you'll go more in that way. An extrovert will just meet this person, the next person, the next person. And a lot of times with an extrovert, you can kind of come off a little more superficial. Meet people, move on. Meet people, move on. So an extrovert meeting plan, it has to really focus on discipline. Meeting people, meeting them again, setting up another meeting, praying for the people that you meet, and actually creating relationships with these people. Now I want to talk a little bit more about like church planting and meeting people. You know, in connection one, as the church planter, meeting people is something that the the wall of it you need to overcome, and the weaknesses of your personality, if you're an extrovert, you need to overcome. But a lot of times, meeting people for church planting is a lot simpler than you think. A lot of times, when you plant a church, the people you're going to meet are already in your life. So I just spent a little time on making new relationships and in building into new groups of people. But I want to talk about your already existing people that you already know. Have you ever actually got out a piece of paper and let's say you're called now to plant a church and you're thinking to yourself, like, who would come to my church? You know what you can do is get out a pad of paper and start writing down all the people you know. Okay, George, my cousin, and his wife Sue. So you got your relatives. People I know at work. Okay, write them down. People that I know in my softball team. Okay, write them down. So you write this whole list of people that you know. The insurance agent. The guy I know who runs the grocery store. Oh, I'm in a speaking group that, you know, I'm learning how to, you know, do public speaking. Oh, write them down. Oh, I did some network marketing there for a while. Oh, I got to write that down. Oh, I homeschool. Oh, I have to write down the people I know there. Oh, I'm a part of a business community group. So write down names there. If you were to write down all the names of the people you know, you might have 100 people. Now, when you're a church planter, you're looking for people. People that you can proclaim the gospel to. So you might say to yourself, well, you know, why don't I just put this together, and if they come, they'll find out about it. You know what I have found? Is that unless someone's invited, they often don't think that what you're doing has anything to do with them. That was an assumption I made so many times as a young church planter, where I would assume, well, they know I'm planting a church. They know that the church is going to meet at so-and-so's house when it starts out, or later on it's meeting over there. And so many times people said, well, you never invited me. So what I would suggest to do is to write down everybody you know, just as the planter now. And after you write them all down, give so-and-so a call and say, hi, this is Henry, and hey, how you doing, George? Great. Hey, you know, I wanted to call you and tell you what I'm getting into. And they would say, well, what's that? I want to be part of planting a new church. Oh. Now, here's the type of responses you will get. One response you'll get is, no. Okay? The other response you'll get is maybe. Another response you'll get is, oh, what's this all about? Maybe I'm interested. Now let's talk about the no. If you get a no, you don't leave it there as no. You can say, oh, so you're not interested. Do you know of someone that might be interested? And I have found some of the people over the year that we were allowed to reach came out of those no's. No, George tells me, but, you know, Sam and Pam, they might be interested in this because they were just talking the other day that they're kind of looking for something spiritually in their life, and they're looking more for God and church and all that, and they kind of need something. You want me to talk to Sam and Pam and get back to you? Sure, go right ahead. And so many times, people have got back to me and said, yeah, Sam and Pam are interested. Here's their phone number. Give them a buzz. So no's aren't necessarily a dead-end street. No's are often an opportunity. Do you know of somebody else? Here's the other thing about no. A lot of times people say no now, but no is not the permanent no. I have seen that over 20 years of church planting. I'll ask someone and I'll, you know, say, hey, do you want to come? And they say no. 2 months later, they show up. But the bottom line is they were asked. The church planter asked them. You know, it's fascinating when you actually call your list of people what God does. A lot of times, too, what I have found is that I had a prayer time with someone who I talked to, and they said things like, you know, maybe we'll come, or we're not really interested right now. And then I'll even close the conversation with something like, is there anything to pray about? And somebody will say, yes, will you pray for this? And I'll pray right there on the phone. And God blesses that. And a relationship is created. In some ways, church planters are about making relationships. One more thing, and I want to talk again about specifically as the church planter, a plan. So here's your plan. First part of your plan is, what walls do you have about meeting people? Get over some of those walls. You might even want to, on that, as I sum up that plan, or that part of the plan, you might even want to buy like a book called People Smart, or just books that specifically help you overcome your fear of people. It's not that big of a deal. And once you actually start doing it, you'll actually have fun with it. You'll conquer that. It's over. It's out of your life. You know, new people, a breeze. Okay, so that's part of one. Second part of your meeting plan, personally as a church planter, is making a list of all your people that you know. Who are they? Call them up. Ask a question. I want to give you a little tidbit on this too, a little extra tidbit. Call them. Don't just send them a card. Or if you're going to send them a card, call them as a follow-up. A lot of times people will send a card and then say, well, they were invited. Or they'll put things in a public notice. And I don't have a lot of faith in just, you know, sending a card or alone or giving a public notice. Because it's like, you know, you get so much mail or send an email. A lot of times that personal, when you have a list, actually, or if you send the email, fine, but actually do the calling. Actually find out, connect with somebody. So, number one, what about your own walls of meeting people? Number two, make a list. Number three, put a discipline in your life to actually meeting people personally. One of the things that I've mentored church planters in over the years is having these habits of meeting people. Like, for instance, if you get gas in your car, someone else is usually a lot of times filling up gas at the same time. Those are excellent times to, there's a habit. You have to fill your car up with gas. Okay? So, you're, somehow or other, somebody's standing there bored. You're bored, they're bored, you're both filling gas in your car. And you can simply say, wow, we're having a rainy day. You will find that is enough to often spark a conversation. Yeah, it's been raining a lot recently, hasn't it? Now you can say, where are you from? Oh, I'm from, you know, Beecher. Oh, that's right down the road. I'm from Monee. How long have you lived in Beecher? And you start a conversation, and a lot of times the Holy Spirit takes that conversation and moves it on to another level. And eventually you're asking them about things that really matter. You know, even at times just bringing up things of the Lord. It, almost at times incredibly quickly where you're saying, God was at work there. But it's a habit. You know, form habits. I remember when I was planting a church in Oregon once. And it was interesting. I had this habit called 5-3. I was going to meet 5 new people a day and schedule 3 meetings a week. Now, this is at the very beginning, and my wife is on board. We're all on board. So I don't want to blow you bivocational guys away because you may not have time to do 5-3. But I'll tell you how it worked. You know, this was what I did. I had raised a salary so I could do this. So I want to tell you the story of it. 5 new people a day. Well, that was how I thought about it. So whether it be the grocery store or whether it's the gas station, you know, I went to a racquetball court. So I would just tally. And I would work on 3 meetings a week. Well, one afternoon, it was 4:30 in the afternoon, and I was like, oh, man, I haven't met hardly anybody today. I had no habit to meet anybody that specific day. So you know what I did? Is I just got out the phone book and I figured, I'm just going to call somebody because then I can meet somebody. Telemarket. Very, very, at times, ineffective. So I thought, where should I call someone? So I looked in the phone book and I thought, well, nobody's going to know me. I happen to be Dutch by background. So I figured, you know, because if you're German or Italian, you have something in common with someone. I happen to be Dutch. So I went to the Eugene phone book and I went over to a Dutch name in the V's. I looked at one. I know that's a Dutch name. So I called this person up and said, hi, I'm Henry Reinga. I'm planting a new church and I'm Dutch and I saw you have a Dutch name. Now, the person on the other end, they didn't go to church. She actually married a Dutch man. The Dutch man was from southern Netherlands whenever they immigrated. Some form of Catholic background, but non-practicing, I might add. And so I talked to this gal a little bit, the wife, and next thing you know, they were over at our house for a cookout. Next thing you know, this family came to our church, became believers. If I wouldn't have had the habit, I wouldn't have had any really reason to call, but I had habit. I have a habit of meeting people. And meeting people is always a good thing. And sometimes it gets kind of funny because you have a habit and you sense that you need to do it and you actually do it. You're surprised at what can happen in response to those habits. So a good meeting people plan includes getting over your own walls, getting a list, and actually doing it. You know, every Saturday I'm calling somebody. Every Wednesday afternoon I'm going to be walking to the park with my children. And I'm going to have a lot of fun with my children, but while I'm there, who might I meet? It's a habit. I'm going to go to this co-op group. I'm going to go to this support group. And my habit is to meet people. Now, I want to make one thing really clear. You may say, wow, this is like business. You know, you're like a realtor who all they think about is, you know, getting the next sale. And isn't that kind of sad that, you know, that you'd be thinking about that? I want to address that. You know, at one level, you could look at it that way and think this is just like business or marketing and our whole life is about, you know, having some agenda. And so you're learning to meet people because you have some agenda. I would not look at it that way. I look at it this way. The time is short. People are dying and going to hell. Who can you meet? And if you put habits into your life and get over your own walls, so what? Meet people. The other option is to not meet people. The other option is to say, oh, well, I want to plant a church, but, you know, somehow it's just going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. And God is calling you as a church planter to lead the way. Now, I want to talk about the other connections real briefly. If you personally have this plan, okay, so let's say you have a spouse. How does your spouse include in this? Maybe she is like, oh, I don't know if I want to meet people. Well, here's the thing is, if your spouse commits with you to plant a church, it's kind of fun for your spouse. And I really agree with this, that if you are called to plant a church, your spouse is called to plant it with you. Okay? So if you're married, your spouse has to overcome your spouse's walls to meet people as well. Because, you know, let's say you're meeting someone and you bring that person home and your spouse is not interested, is militantly against you, I would really question whether or not you're a church planter. That connection together is very important in this. Now, what does it mean to have a supporting spouse? Well, it means to have a supporting spouse is your spouse is interested, is involved, is excited. When you go out to eat, your spouse is there. My point is that maybe your spouse doesn't need to be some superstar, but at least your spouse has to pray about the love of people. Here's the other thing. Sometimes I've noticed that an introvert marries an extrovert, and that's wonderful. So a lot of times God will use your spouse to fill in the blanks where maybe you're not, or vice versa. Your family has a key. One of the things that I believe very firmly is as you have children and those children grow up and mature, part of your kind of discipleship is teach them how to meet people and teach them how to be hospitable, teach them how to be friendly. If in your life as a church planter, the energy of your life is meeting people, that's something that needs to be supported. There's something also, a silver lining in that. If you teach your children how to be hospitable and meet people, that will do well for them throughout their whole life. Now, what about connection four, your friends? As you model that openness, that non-clickiness, that everybody's included in the gospel, there's the generosity of meeting people as a church planner, you'll find your friends do the same thing. And you can even be intentional about this. You can do things the early core group and the early launch team, call it your kind of friends in this church planting endeavor. You can do things that are about interacting with people, like an English country dance, for instance. You can sponsor something like that and have all your core group as you're starting the church or your launch team invite everyone to an English country dance. And when you're there at this country dance, it's about meeting people, and they can participate in this. Or your church. A lot of times, if you actually get to the point where you're now planted a church and the church is now taking off, to have a culture of meeting people. When someone new comes there as a church planter, model meeting them. And then as a church planter, introduce them to people with your church. In some ways, you're like the border collie who's going around and someone's coming looking at your church and you're like, who can I herd? Okay, a new person comes. See, you could go there as a pastor and meet them. But better is that you meet them and say, you are similar to this person over here. Let me connect you two. So that your people become part of meeting new people. In the kingdom of God, you will find that as you meet other believers in other parts of the country and other churches, that what we begin to start having is a culture of people meeting people and encouraging people. And then the last thing is evangelism. All those earlier six connections, your personal, your marriage, your family, your launch team, your friends, your church, interacting with other people is still always about is looking for the lost. Finding a way to connect to them. Finding a way to meet people. To understand that the gospel is spread through relationships. So, as we think about our church planting plan, it's not just something where you write down five things and put them to memory. This is something that you do. You have habits. You actually, and I've only mentioned, and in the short amount of time that I've had with you, I'm only mentioning the tip of the iceberg. Whether you buy books to help you, but it's about practice. It's about failing. It's about practicing some more. It's about trial and error. It's about getting out there. It's about taking the risk. It's about meeting someone we don't want to, but you take that risk and see what the Holy Spirit will do. So, as you think about your people plan, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it as, I got to have a hassle, or you can look at it as this great opportunity to grow like you've never grown before.